it's everybody. Open up your Bibles to John chapter 20. We're going to get there in a minute. Go ahead. John chapter 20. And I'm going to start in Hebrews. Anybody know what we've been talking about? We've been talking about the doctrines of Christ. The basic doctrines of Christ. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1 through 3 says, "So let us stop going over the basic teachings about Christ again and again. Let us go on instead and become mature," in some versions the Bible say perfect, "in our understanding. Surely we don't need to start again with the fundamental importance of repenting from evil deeds and placing our faith in God. You don't need further instruction about baptisms, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. And so, God willing, we will move forward to further understanding." We've been talking about faith for the last few weeks, one of the fundamental doctrines of Christ. And really, the whole basis of Christianity is built on faith. And it's completely different than what the world believes and the way the world acts. So we've been talking about that. Next week, we're going to move on into baptism. Now, let me ask you this. If I told you that baptism saves you, what would you say? You'd say no, wouldn't you? And the reason you would say that is because you usually only know about one kind of baptism, and that's what? Water baptism, right? But we're going to talk about, there are actually three baptisms that the believer deals with, and we're going to talk about those. The first baptism, which is baptism into the body of Christ, actually does save you. Water baptism doesn't. Water is just, baptism is a picture of being baptized into the body of Christ. We're going to talk about that. Well, to start today's lesson, like I said, turn to John chapter 20, and I'm going to back up just a little bit from where we're starting, but Jesus had just been buried. And Mary Magdalene went out to the tomb to see Jesus' body, and or to the grave, and she got there, and the stone was rolled away, and there were two men, she thought, sitting at the foot and the head of where Christ had been laid. Well, she thought they were gardeners, we'll see in a minute. They come to find out they were angels. And we'll see what happened here. John chapter 20, we'll start in verse 14. It says, "She turned to leave and saw someone standing there. It was Jesus, but she didn't recognize him. 'Dear woman, why are you crying?' Jesus asked her. 'Who are you looking for?' She thought he was the gardener. 'Sir,' she said, 'if you have taken him away, tell me where you have put him and I will go and get him.' 'Mary,' Jesus said." You know, when he said her name, I think that's when, I mean, instantly she knew that that's who that was. "She turned to him and cried out, 'Rabboni,' which is Hebrew for teacher. 'Don't cling to me,' or 'don't grab me,' 'don't hold on to me,' Jesus said, 'for I have not yet ascended to my Father. But go find my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father and to my God and to your God.'" Now, you probably never heard this before, but what happened there again? She came up to Jesus. She realized who he was, and what's the first thing she wanted to do? She wanted to grab hold and hug, right? He says, "Don't. Don't touch me." He says, "I haven't ascended to my Father yet."
Apparently she already did it because he said stop.
Yeah, well, some verses say that. Yeah. King James says, don't touch me. Don't grab hold and hang on. But why? He said, "Because I have not ascended yet." What did Jesus is our high priest, isn't he? What was the job of the high priest in the Holy of Holies when they would take like a lamb and they slaughtered it? What did they do with all that, with that animal, the parts of it?
They
did all kinds of things. Then they would burn part of the fat. They would take the blood. They'd sprinkle it on the people. They actually took part of it for the priest to eat. That's what they lived on. It's part of it. But Jesus was our lamb, and he was our high priest, wasn't he? Well, he says, "Don't touch me because I haven't ascended to the Father yet." And it goes on, it says in verse 18, "Mary Magdalene found the disciples and told them, 'I have seen the Lord.' Then she gave them his message." And what was his message? He said in verse 17, says, "Don't cling to me, don't grab me, for I haven't yet ascended to the Father." He says, "But go find my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." So he says, "Don't touch me. I haven't gone to God yet. I haven't done this." He said, "Go tell them I'm ascending to the Father." Well, Jesus was our high priest, right? Some way, he's also the Lamb. He had to go into heaven. He had to take himself, and he had to do all that stuff the high priest did with the Lamb. He had to do that to himself. And you don't hear that much, but he was the Lamb and the high priest were types and shadows of Jesus in the Old Testament. He says, "Don't touch me, I haven't ascended." Hey. So the next thing we see, the apostles are in this room, they're hiding because they're in fear of the Jews. Well, and then all of a sudden, Thomas, he's sticks his hand in Jesus' side and touches him. So apparently, somewhere in this time, Jesus went up to heaven and did all this stuff with his body that had been sacrificed, the lamb, as the high priest. Don't ask me how it happened. I don't know. But he had to do all the same thing spiritually that the high priest did, really, physically, in the Old Testament. Yes?
And so would have, so then touching him would have messed
maybe
that
defiled him, or yeah, something like that.
What do you think that meant? That
probably defiled him.
That he maybe wouldn't be clean or whatever.
Right, because if you look at the priest had to be completely perfect. He couldn't have any abnormalities in his body. The lamb was the same way. It had to be completely, no black spots, had to be perfect. And so I think that's probably why he touched me, because I've got to go perform all this stuff in heaven to pay for the sins of mankind. So, it's...
Are you clinging to him? Was she already touching him and she gave you the same? Don't hold on, you need to let go.
I think, what was she want? What would you do? I mean, I'd want to just grab, give it a bear hug. And I think that's what she said. Don't touch me, don't grab me. The Greek word literally means just to grab and to hold on to. And so he's saying, don't do that. Just let me go and do what I've got to do. Tell my brothers I'm going to see my God and your God. And then let's go on down to verse 23. Well, no, let's back up. Let's go back to verse 18. So Mary Magdalene found the disciples and told them, I have seen the Lord. Then she gave them his message, which was he was going to God. That Sunday evening, the disciples were meeting behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. Suddenly, Jesus was standing there among them. Peace be with you, he said, and he spoke, and he showed them the wounds in his hands and his side. Now, can you imagine? There may have been 120 people in that room. That's what we find later on the day of Pentecost. We know for sure the disciples were there, and they had locked the door. They were in fear for their lives because they're afraid they're going to get killed too. Well, what do we do when we fellowship? Right? When we finish class, what happens? You'll have a couple people over here talking. You'll have three or four people over here talking. You'll have five or six women talking. And it goes like that, right? Well, I bet that's what was going on in this room. I bet they're all talking. And all of a sudden, one of them turns around and there's Jesus. And then another, and they stop talking. And then the next one looks and they stop talking. All of a sudden, just this hush comes over the room. And all of a sudden, there's Jesus. I mean, he just walked through the wall or appeared or something. But he's there. And he had been resurrected. So let's go on down to, we'll go back to verse 18. So Mary Magdalene found the disciples and told them, I've seen the Lord. Then she gave them his message. That Sunday evening, the disciples were meeting behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. Suddenly, Jesus was standing there among them. Peace be with you, he said. As he spoke, he showed them the wounds in his hands and his side. They were filled with joy when they saw the Lord. Can you imagine? Because, they really weren't sure about him raising from the dead, were they? Only John, I think, really, really got that he was going to rise from the dead. Again, he said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so am I sending you. And verse 22 is so important. He says, then he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. The King James says, receive ye the Holy Spirit. What do you think happened at that moment? Jesus walks up and says, receive the Holy Spirit and breathe on them. Doesn't say. What do you think when the Holy Spirit was breathed on them? Anybody?
I don't think physically they didn't feel anything, I don't think.
Probably not.
It's all spiritual.
I think they're born again.
Yeah,
born
again.
Yep. I really believe when the Holy Spirit came, what happens when we get saved? The Holy Spirit comes in our lives, doesn't he? The Spirit is the Greek word pneuma, and it means wind or spirit or breath. And so I believe this is where the first time anybody's ever gotten saved. Jesus walks up and breathes on them and says, receive the Holy Spirit. And their lives change. Well, right after this, here they are locked up in fear. Well, the next time we see them, they're out with Jesus ascending to heaven. They're not in fear anymore. Then we see them at the day of Pentecost with people from all other countries. Something happened. It changed their lives, right? So it had to have been born again. I talked to some other people. Oh, no, that's a type and a figure. That's just a spiritual preparation prayer and all this stuff. I don't believe it. I believe they got born again right there when Jesus breathed the Holy Spirit into their lives. Well, we know that the Old Testament saints, how many of you, anybody here not get this sheet with the three heavens compartments of the underworld? Anybody need that? Okay. Just passing around if you want to take one. In the Old Testament, before Jesus had died and been resurrected, What happened to people that believed in the Lord? They couldn't go to heaven yet because Jesus hadn't paid the price. Well, you remember the thieves on the cross with Jesus? There was one on one side, and he said, if you're really the Lord, why don't you, you know, save us and save yourself? What did the other one was to say? The Lord said, you know, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And he said, you'll be with me in paradise today. Well, we know the Bible says Jesus went to hell when he died. You know, when I was 18, I told you that I'd started going to church, and my Sunday school teacher said that, and I said, that's a bunch of baloney. I don't believe that. And he said, Psalm 16:12 and Acts chapter 2. Jesus, when he died, he went to hell. The Bible says he went to the lowest parts of hell. Actually, to a place called Tartarus, where the spirits, the angels that fell in the Old Testament, they went there. No humans ever go there. And Jesus went there and declared the gospel to them. We don't know exactly everything that happened while he was there, but we know he declared the gospel to those angels that were in that pit. So, anyway, these people that died before Christ had been resurrected went to paradise, or what we call Abraham's bosom. You remember the story of Lazarus, the beggar? And he was so, he had his sores all over his body, and the dogs would lick him and all this stuff, and there was a real rich man, and he'd throw crumbs out to Lazarus. Well, they both died. And the rich man, who had been rich, he became the beggar, didn't he? And he looks over this great gulf, and if you'll look at your paper there, you can go on somebody else's YouTube. There was this great gulf between paradise and hell. So, anyway, they're both in hell, but paradise, Abraham's bosom, was a holding place in the Old Testament. For the Old Testament saints, wasn't a place of torment, but it was a place in hell because they couldn't go to heaven yet because Jesus hadn't paid the price yet. But it says in Ephesians that when Jesus ascended, that he took captive, it says it this way, he took captivity captive. He took those people with him, those spirits. And as he went up, he also gave gifts to us, which are the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, pastor, and teacher. What some people call them the ascension gifts. Other people call them the fivefold ministry gifts. And we'll talk about all those later. So anyway, that's how people get to heaven. The ones before Jesus, they couldn't go until Jesus had paid that price. But they were held in that place called paradise or Abraham's bosom. And then the first people to get saved once he was raised from the dead are these in this room. When he says, he blew on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. And like I say, their lives changed completely after that. It goes on, verse 23, it said, Jesus, he had breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. And in verse 29, it says, if you forgive anyone's sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. One of the 12 disciples, Thomas, nicknamed the twin, was not with the others when Jesus came. They told him, we have seen the Lord. Well, what was Thomas's reaction? There's a reason we call him the doubting Thomas in there. So he says, but he replied, I won't believe it unless I see the nail wounds in his hands, put my fingers into them, and place my hand into the wound in his side. 8 days later, the disciples were together again, and this time Thomas was with them. The doors were locked, but suddenly, as before, Jesus was standing among them. Peace be with you, he said again. Then he said to Thomas, put your finger here. And he said, and look at my hands. Put your hand into the wound in my side. And then he says, don't be faithless any longer. Believe. My Lord and my God, Thomas exclaimed. Then Jesus told him, you believe because you have seen me. Blessed are those who believe without seeing me. Now we've talked about, in the last few lessons, we've talked about how Jesus told the apostles, he said, have the God kind of faith. He says, it says in the Bible, have faith in God, but it literally means have the God kind of faith. And we've talked about that. What is the God kind of faith? The God kind of faith believes before you see it. Same with that. You know, he told Thomas, quit doubting and just believe. Thomas, when he saw it, he had to be from Missouri, right? The show me state. When he saw it, he believed it. But Jesus said, blessed are those who believe that haven't seen. And that's the same way as we walk in faith. We believe even though we haven't seen. Mark 11:22-24. Write that down if you haven't written it down. Very important scriptures. Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God, or have a God kind of faith. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. He says say 3 times there. Remember, speaking to your situation is very important in faith. He says, therefore, in verse 24, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, Believe that you receive them and you shall have them. He didn't say, wait till we see it, wait till we feel it, wait till the doctor gives us a good report. He says, when you pray, believe that you receive it. The God kind of faith speaks, and it's based on the Word of God, always. If it's not based on the Word of God, it's not faith. So that's why it's so important that we get in the Word of God and we find out what the Word of God says. The God kind of faith also believes when we pray, not when we see. Okay?
It's been bothering me for so long. So if you pray for something and you believe that you're going to receive it and then you don't receive it, is that because your faith is not strong enough?
Well, see, the whole key is it's not going to receive it. You believe you do receive it when you pray. That doesn't mean it's manifested. So that's the whole difference. And what you do, Hebrews 11, 35 and 36 says, don't throw away your confidence, which has great recompense reward, because once you've done what you need to do, that answer is going to come eventually. So what Jesus said, believe you receive when you pray. And Daniel, if you read in Daniel chapter 10, he prayed for a certain thing to happen. And 2 weeks later, finally, this angel comes through and said, me and Michael, the other angel, had to fight through these evil spirits to bring the answer, but the very day you prayed, your prayer was answered.
But you don't necessarily see the results.
Right.
Is that what you're saying? Because
yes.
I've heard that so many ways, and people say, "Well, your faith wasn't strong enough. You didn't give it because your faith." And I've never really quite understood that.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, then, because how do you know when your faith is? So if you got it answered, and the way then, oh, now my faith is strong enough because I got it in. But if I didn't get it, my faith wasn't strong enough. And that's just really been a struggle.
Yeah, and nobody can say. I mean, nobody else knows where your faith is. Just that Sherman.
This is a lie.
It's hard to understand. I believe that God moves when he wants to, when he believes that the time is right. Mm-hmm. Our time at his time might not be the same, but he knows everything, and he knows when the time is right. And I think there are times when he doesn't move is because it's not good for you.
Yeah. Well, it could be.
But it's still saying believe that it did just happen.
Right, you believe it, receive it then.
Like you said, you may not see it until God's
right.
Until
it's
is that really what
Yeah, you're waiting for it to be manifest. Just like Daniel's prayer, I mean, it took 2 weeks because of evil spirits.
So if I pray to be healed of something physical, I'm supposed to believe that.
But you receive it right then.
I receive it even though I may not.
You may not see it.
Feel healed,
right.
Or there's no result of being healed.
But isn't it true that what you're believing and knowing is that it's in God's hands?
Right.
That's really what you're knowing. You're knowing that he's in control and it's in his hands.
Right,
yeah, because it's not talking about a new car or some earthly good that we want. I'm going to claim it, name it, claim it. It's not that.
Maybe you need a car for your job.
Yeah, but you can ask for a car and you believe you get one. Well, I'll get a new car someday, but I'm in no rush. You know?
Well, James, James said, you have not because you ask amiss. And that's the whole thing. Okay. And we've got to base our prayer on the Word of God.
Amen.
And that's what I was saying a while ago. We faith, you have to have it based on the Word. If you don't, you can't have faith, because faith all is based on the Word.
The story you told about those two guys who heard the thing, and they got rid of their car because they wanted a new car, and then they walked.
Okay. Yep, because they had heard somebody gave an airplane.
It's the intention that you have when you're praying, and what...
Right.
You know, is it a selfish intent?
Right.
Or, hey, I want a Lexus instead of a Kia, you know?
Yeah. And God may want you to have a Lexus.
Yeah, he may do it, but I mean, that's not...
I mean, what is it to God?
There's unselfish prayers too that still don't seem to be answered or not
sure,
so it's
sure.
That's the reason that I still struggle with believe that I got it. I prayed for it, I have it. I don't see it yet, but I
that's what Jesus says.
I
yep.
hear you.
It's in God's cue.
It's like I want to give the it's in his cue. I want to give the example. My mom prayed for me for 20 years when I was not walking with the Lord. She believed that God would bring me back. She died before I came back to the Lord. But her prayer was answered. She didn't necessarily see the evidence. I know she sees it today.
Did
but
she prayed felt, though, that her prayer
I know
was
she
well,
said. I know she said. My dad told me that your mom knew that God, because God's word tells her, train up a way train a child in the way he should go, and he will not depart. And he brought me back, but she was not there to see the day when I said, Lord, I can't live this way anymore.
But she
knew that God.
But yes, I will say this too: you can't pray the prayer of faith for somebody else,
right?
Because you can't change their will.
Right.
Now, what I'm saying, but when Jesus said, believe you receive when you pray, you've got to base that prayer on the Word of God and what God's Word says. And that's a problem. A lot of people, they haven't built their faith and established their faith on what they've based it on somebody else says, or somebody like these guys. You know, this guy gave away an airplane, and God gives him an airplane, somebody else gives him an airplane worth twice as much the next week. And so the two guys who I went to school thought, we'll give our jalopies away and drive Lexuses. Well, they walked the rest of the year. Because they were presumptuous. They didn't base their giving on what God's Word said. Now, the other guy, God told him, give this airplane to this ministry. Okay? He was obedient.
He's answering God.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's the problem. See, people want to base their prayer on what they've seen someone else do, or their faith on something, and it doesn't work that way. You've got to get in the Word for yourself and see, hey, Mikey, and see what the Word of God says. It has to be based on faith, or it won't work.
Well, I understand that. I mean, that part makes sense. Complete sense to me. The part of reading it right that second has never quite made sense.
Go on our website and look at this book written by Dodie Osteen. She was, like I said, there's four ways people can be healed. Be healed just through natural process, the way the Lord put that into our bodies. We have antibodies and all this stuff inside of ourselves. Second way is through a doctor, through medicine, you know, but there's always side effects and all that too.
Yeah.
But it's healing. And the third is through a gift of miracles or gift of healing, two of the nine gifts of the Spirit. That's what most people are praying for when they pray. That they want God to do it by himself. Just, yeah. Well, the fourth way we can be healed is to get in the Word and get that Word in us. The Bible says he sent his Word and healed them and delivered them from all their destructions. Well, we get in the Word and we get that in us and we grow in faith, and it'll drive sickness out. And that's what happened to Dodie Osteen. She's been 30-something years since she was diagnosed with 6 weeks to live. She's still here. So, but she realized she was prayed for by all the healing, I mean, every healing minister in this country and around the world, and she didn't get a miracle. But the Word of God healed.
And now some people, I mean, you're back.
Mm-hmm.
You can say, oh, Jay, don't you have enough faith? Your back will be healed. You get out of having number 10 pain all the time. And you do, and you're blamed it.
But
it's not manifest yet. What if you died 20 years from today, 50 years from today, and you still got the same back problem? Mm-hmm. Does that mean God didn't answer your prayer? No, he answered it.
Right.
Just never saw it.
And nobody should ever base their faith on what I go through or what I do.
Right.
And it should always be on the Word.
Your amount of faith.
Right.
No, but that's where hearing and questioning and where I have struggled too, because I've heard that, but like, does that mean my faith was not good enough?
No, not at all.
But we can do something about our faith. We can grow our faith. We're going to talk about that.
Look at all the people in the Bible, David, what he went through, Job, what he went through.
Mm-hmm.
I could go on and on. Moses and all.
Well, see, the Bible tells us we will have persecutions as Christians.
Yeah,
that doesn't mean we have to be sick. It doesn't mean we have to be depressed. But we will go through persecution.
What they suffered and all. Mm-hmm. But look at the disciples. They were pretty perfect.
The confidence is that God and God himself, not in the answer, but in God himself,
right,
who he is. If we can just get a grasp of
that's the whole point of the prosperity doctrine, everything.
That's
Jesus
all
is at the top of it.
God himself, who he is, and what he has for us, not what we want.
See, we want to prove
we are
something.
Nothing.
I pray for healing, I'm healed.
Yeah.
We want to show off.
It is a matter of pride sometimes.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Pray for Nancy doesn't have any more seizures. Well, she had one a couple
weeks ago.
Wow, that prayer wasn't answered?
Yeah.
It was answered. I claim it.
You just keep standing.
But it just didn't manifest itself just yet.
I think sometimes you've got to humble yourself before the Lord, too.
Amen.
Like when I was pregnant with my last child, it was awful, the things I had to go through. I almost lost her several times. And the thought I had when I was in a hospital bed before, you know, for other reasons, almost losing her, I said, Lord, you know what? I would rather lose this baby than not to know you. So, Lord, I just pray whatever you want for me, I will accept. And she was born premature,
2.5 months early, and it's amazing what she's, and she is on fire for God. Her and her husband want to go to Africa and be missionaries one day. So you never know. I dedicated her to the Lord, but little did I know the Lord was going to take her all the way over to Africa one day.
So maybe, and maybe she's a little crazy.
Too. But there's a, like, one, a great sign when you, another thing, when you pray, I had a really excruciating pain in my jaw, and I couldn't get into the dentist. And so I just put my hand on my jaw and prayed to the Lord for healing. Well, it didn't eat, it eased up a little bit, but then it would come back. And when I was eating at the table dinner, I kept saying, I am healed in my mind, I am healed. Satan, get behind me, I am healed. Do you know, it went away after a while. It never came back. To this day, it's never came back. Now, because I was at my wit's end, I thought, what am I going to do? I can't get in the dentist. I can't stand this pain. And out of the blue, the Lord said, lay your hands on your face and pray. So sometimes, you know,
gotta listen to the Lord.
Listen to the Lord.
Open up to Hebrews 11 while we're talking about it. Hebrews 11. We've got a lot to cover here. Verse 5, Hebrews 11, 5. This is the Heroes of Faith chapter, they call it. It talks about all the Old Testament saints that we call heroes of faith that were more messed up than we are. You know, you look at them, sometimes you think, goodness, man, and God calls these guys heroes of faith, they're worse than I was. So, anyway, it's kind of interesting how God worked in their lives. Verse 5, Hebrews 11, 5 says, by faith, Enoch was translated. We could also say raptured. In other words, he was taken into heaven. So let's use the word raptured instead of translated. By faith, Enoch was raptured that he should not see death and was not found. In other words, he wasn't around anymore because God had raptured him. And before his rapture, he had this testimony that he what? He pleased God, right? And in verse 6, without faith, I got it here on the board, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that what?
He is.
And that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Some versions say, I forget what it is, something besides he is, but really the true translation is, you've got to believe that he is. And what is he? We've talked about it before. He's whatever we need at the time, isn't he? You know, if we look at the names of God, Jehovah's names, Jehovah Rapha, God our healer, there's a whole list. Jehovah Nisi, God our victorious banner. I mean, we went through that whole list a couple years ago talking about the names of Jehovah. Well, that's what God is. God is whoever, whatever we need at the time. And it says we also must be a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So without faith, it's what? It's impossible to please him, isn't it? Now, what does faith do? Faith believes before it sees, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. You believe, you receive when you pray. We believe in Jesus even though we've never seen him. I mean, some people have seen him, but I haven't. But he said, well, it's more blessed to believe before you see. Okay? Impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that
he is.
And's the big word here. He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I used to think that if I expected God to do something good for me, that I wasn't being humble enough. I was thinking, you know, it's just, you know, God, I expect you to do what you said. But I'm not being humble. That's something I've had to work on in my life, is that God, he wants to do those things for me. He wants to bless me. He wants to prosper me. He wants to heal me. He wants to do those good things. So, we've got to realize it's impossible to please him unless we have faith. We've got to believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of you. I mean, how many of you are not diligently seeking the Lord? None of you. I think every one of you are diligently seeking the Lord. So, he wants to bless you. He wants to honor to bless you and build you up. Let me ask you this, and you don't have to raise your hand and say anything. If you want to, you can. What is an area in your life in which you struggle believing that God desires to reward you? Sir?
Patience.
Yes. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Because we all want what we need or want right now.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Patience is a gift from God. I believe that.
Yes. I struggle with that.
Yep. Anybody else?
Yeah.
Barbara.
I struggle with that too.
What's something else that maybe you struggle with that where God desires to bless you and reward you? Like I said, mine was just the fact, very fact that he wanted to do good things for me. You know, maybe it's forgiveness of sin. There's people that they can't receive forgiveness of sin. They just can't understand that they're forgiven. They've done things they felt like were so bad. I mean, there's some things I did when I was younger that I'm not real proud of, but you know, the Lord's forgiven me of that. Maybe it's health. Maybe people can't believe that the Lord really wants to heal them, or he made provision for healing already. Maybe finances. Maybe people are struggling with finances and they can't believe that the Lord makes a way for them, their needs to be met financially. I mean, that's been tithes and offering. The Bible's very clear on it. What's that?
That one I know is real, yep. For me.
Absolutely. What about relationships? Mm-hmm. You know, are there relationships you feel like the Lord's not big enough to mend? I think a lot of us have gone through that, haven't we? Yeah, so we've got to really look at things and see what, and realize the Lord is. He is. And he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Listen to this quote. If God demands that I have faith when it's impossible for me to have faith, then I have a right to challenge his justice. But if he places within my hands the means whereby faith can be produced, then the responsibility rests with me whether or not I have faith. So God has told us that without faith it is impossible to please him, but he's also told us how to get faith. If we don't have faith, God is not to blame. How do we get faith?
Reading the Word.
Reading the Word. That's the only way we get faith, is to get more of the Word inside of us. Now, the Bible says in Romans 12:3 that we all have a measure of faith. Now, without that, we couldn't be born again. That's something the Lord put into every one of us. That's this little bitty measure of faith. But we have the ability to build. God didn't want it to stop there. He wanted us to continue to grow our faith. You know, it's really sad when you see somebody that's been a Christian for 50 years, that's a spiritual baby that doesn't know anything about God's Word, but you know, you see it a lot. Because they just, Pastor David hit on something tonight. He talked about that poet he was reading. He said that the people that oppose the next move of God are the ones that were on top of the last one. And I see that a lot.
Looking back.
What's that?
Looking back.
Looking back. Yep. They don't want to take anything new because this other one was so great.
Yeah.
We're not accepting this new one. Well, you know, God may move a different way. You know, back in the between about 1945 and about 1955, there was a miraculous healing movement that went across this country. There were, I mean, I need to bring this bound volume I have of 12 magazines called Voice of Healing. There was a kid that had a glass eye. His eye had been poked out, they put a glass eye. God healed him, didn't give him a new eye, but he could see through the eye. And the doctors were just astounded. They had doctors that went with these healing ministers and they would actually verify these healings. And it was just crazy things like that. You know, or new limbs being grown or new eyes being grown. Different kinds of things. But you know, toward the end of about 55, God quit doing that so much. There's a book called All Things Are Possible. Edwin Harrell wrote it. We had to read that while we were in seminary. And it's one of the best books I've ever read. But it talks about a lot of these different healing ministers through that time. Well, God was doing miraculous things, and guys built big ministries on that. Well, as God began to stop doing that so much, they didn't know what to do because all their offerings kind of slowed down, and they weren't getting to live in the nice homes they had or drive the nice cars they had, wear the nice suits. Well, so what they do, they start planting people out there to act like they're getting healed or, you know, doing different. There's all kinds of tricks they use. I know one guy would use, just in the last 15 years, he would walk up and say, Bruce is sitting here, and there's another guy sitting here with him, and this guy's got a cane. And he kind of put it between, well, this guy would run up, and he knew which one to use the cane. He'd grab the cane, grab the guy that was well, and say, run in the name of Jesus, look, you're healed. He'd throw the cane up to the front. Well, nobody else there is any the wiser, are they? No. But human nature is, you're not going to bust his chops because you'd be embarrassed. You know, you're not going to say, hey, it was him, I would. And they have built ministries like that. This guy that did that, he actually spent time in prison for tax evasion. But, you know, there are.
He had a lot more discipline than that, we know about.
Yeah.
Later on.
But anyway, there.
Getting
for a line. You know, we know of the one guy. Remember Peter Popoff used the wire in his ear? How many of you heard of that? Mm-hmm. Anybody not hear of it? His wife had, like, perfect memory. And she would go around before the service and she would visit with people and find out what's running on. Of course, people are coming wanting to be healed because it's supposed to be. I mean, he's still out there. but they have some kind of sickness or whatever they need to heal. So you get all these people coming. Well, when the service would start, she would sit back there on a certain frequency, and they actually found the frequency and they recorded it. And she'd say, okay, honey, Max Banks over on row 3, you know, the third seat over, has cancer of the liver. And he'd say, oh, Max Banks, you got cancer of the liver. Of course, they're thinking, oh my gosh, that's God. You know, well, it's a scam. And they actually show that, I think, on 2020 or one of those shows. Busting for a while, 2-3 other ministers like that, and they're back. So,
what's his name?
Peter Popoff. P-O-P-O-F-F. But you know what? There'll always be people like that. And especially when we get toward the end days, there's going to be more. How do we guard against that? We guard against it by getting the word into us. And you know what? There may be times that it's questionable, but the Holy Spirit will lead you and guide you if you've got the word in you. Why does the Bible say in the end that even the very elect are going to be deceived if possible? Because so many of the elect haven't gotten into the word like they're supposed to. We're all the elect, aren't we?
Yeah.
But it's our responsibility to get the word and grow our faith. Romans 10:17, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Some people say it comes by hearing and hearing and hearing the word of God. And that doesn't mean just listen to somebody else. That means getting into it for yourself. I've told you, if you can just read 3 scriptures a day and then meditate on them all day long, after a year, you've meditated on 1,000 scriptures. I hope that's not all you do, but hey, man, if you just do 3 a day, I mean, that's not that hard to do, is it? So, anyway, praying for more faith is futile. We can pray for more faith. Do you think the Lord's going to answer that?
No.
Not going to, because that's not how faith comes. He tells us how it comes. Well, what about if we hope for more faith? It's a waste of our time. We have to get more faith. Romans 12:2 says, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. What does it mean to be transformed? The renewing of our mind. How do we do that? We do it through the word of God, don't we? The word changes us. Man, I wish I could show you what the way I was before the word got hold of me, and you know what I'm now. But I remember my 10-year high school reunion. Most people couldn't believe it. I was actually pastoring at the time. Most people I went to school with couldn't believe it. And so the guy that had been our class president, we were having a big dinner that night, and I was with my dad, so he sneaks by the house, and he knocks on the door, and he's like, you could tell he was really unsure about this. So he's like, I heard you're a preacher. And I said, yeah. And he goes, oh, could you do the invocation tonight? I'm like, sure. But they couldn't believe that I was a preacher because the Lord changed me. They knew who I used to be, but they didn't know me then. So a big difference. Not that I was that bad, but they just knew me. So, yes.
Yeah, right.
So you are responsible for growing your faith. Nobody else. God's not responsible. Your pastor's not responsible. Your life group leader's not responsible. It's your job to grow your faith. I mean, it is our job to give you the word of God, but it's your job to learn it, to get into it, and grow your faith. How does hearing the word increase our faith? Well, first of all, we get to know our Father more. The Bible says Jesus is the express image of the Father. So when we see Jesus, we see God. We see God's nature. You can know your Father's nature on this earth. You know what he's like. I mean, y'all watch American Idol? Anybody see it Thursday night? Oh, man. You guys have got to go on YouTube. Kelly Clarkson, who in, 2002, won the first American Idol. She was on last night. And she wrote a song about growing up. And I'd see, we had a thing at Barb's work. We couldn't watch it live. But we used a DVR. So last night, we watched it. Tonight, something on the internet said she had everybody in tears. I think, well, I wonder what happened. You know, it's probably no big deal. Anyway, she sang a song about when she was a little girl and her dad lived. And her mom and dad divorced when she was 6. And I guess it was really not a good situation. And when she got popular, got famous, then he started trying to come back. And he wanted money and all this kind of stuff. But it's talking about how her dad treated her and how she would never do that with her daughter. Now she's pregnant with a little boy. And talking about her husband now, how she learned that a man can be a father and love and not leave. And if you watch and you don't cry, I don't know. I think you're beyond help if you don't. But really, go to YouTube and look up Kelly Clarkson. The song she wrote, it's called Piece by Piece. Very touching. So anyway, we can know our Father more. In most cases, we can know what God's will is. How many times do we pray, Father, if it's your will? We don't have to pray that way. That's not a prayer of faith. We say, Father, if it's your will. We need to know what God's will is. And we can know most times from the Word of God what God's will is. We can understand the price that was paid for us when Christ hung on that cross. We can begin to see who we are in Christ. We can begin to see the spiritual authority we have as believers. And as we get more of the Word in us, our confidence and our faith grows because of those things. Like I said, if you lead somebody to the Lord, and I hope you've all had that experience. If you don't, I hope you do. We don't pray, okay, repeat after me. Repeat a sinner's prayer. Now say, Lord, if it's your will, save me of my sins. Do we? Because we know that Jesus paid for our sins, right?
Right.
Well, if we get in the Word, we see the same thing about healing. Healing and sin go hand in hand. So, but instead, a lot of times we pray, Lord, if it's your will. Well, when we pray that, that is complete thought. It's completely different than a prayer of faith because we don't understand what God's will is. That's why we need to get in the Word and find out what God's will is and then pray according to it. Okay.
Can we pray, your Lord, Father, your will be done?
Yeah. Well, sure. Actually, he said that in the Lord's Prayer. Okay. But we should know what his will is. And we can. He's given us the Bible. And plus, he speaks to us, too. It's just simply we do not know what God's will is when we pray, Lord, if it's your will. Psalm, I want to use some scriptures about healing. Psalm 107:20. You can write all these down. I'm not going to have to turn them. It'll take forever. Psalm 107:20 in King James says, he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. I love that scripture. 1 Peter 2:24
says, can you slow down a little bit? Psalms what now?
107:20. 1 Peter 2:24. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on that tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. The Old Testament says you are healed. The New Testament says you were healed. It's a done deal. Isaiah 53:4-5, this verse says that. It says, surely he hath borne our griefs. And the word really is sickness. I don't know why they translated griefs. Surely he has borne our sickness and carried our anguish. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, and he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. And again, that's Isaiah 53:4-5. Next one's James 5:14-15. This is one I found when my brother was dying with cancer. And it says, James 5:14-15 says, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick or heal the sick. The word save and heal, same word. You can always interchange those two words in the New Testament. Save, heal. It's the same thing. There's no distinction made between saving our soul or healing our body. It all happened when Jesus paid the price through the atonement. So it says, and the prayer of faith shall heal the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he hath committed any sins, they shall be forgiven him. That's James 5:14-15. So we should know what God's will is. We should get the Word and see what it is. Jesus is the express image of our Father's nature. What is Jesus' will concerning healing? Let's look at a few scriptures there. Matthew 8:1-3. It says, when he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him, and behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you will, now we're talking about his will, right? Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will. I will. That should answer forever the question about Jesus' will for healing.
He was demonstrating his faith.
Absolutely he was. Yeah. Absolutely. But there are people that do that, like my brother. He said, you know, I know the Lord can just heal me if he just would. That's not faith. That's hope. And I've talked about how that I think a lot of Christians mix up hope and faith.
What should he have said?
Huh?
What do you think he should have said?
He said, I believe the Lord healed me. I believe the Lord is healing.
He keeps saying that. Really.
Yep. My uncle used to talk about him. That's the first time I'd ever heard of people being healed. And he talked about several times how the Lord was healing. And I thought, you know, that worked for him and not for me. Well, God's no respecter of people, is he? Mm-hmm. He doesn't look at anybody more favorable than anybody else. So the next, yes, is it?
Yeah, okay. Great.
Matthew 8:5-7. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lies at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. The only time we ever see where Jesus couldn't heal somebody was Nazareth, his hometown. And it says he could only heal a few people because of what? Anybody know? Because of their unbelief. That's the only thing that ever limited Jesus. Other places he went, everywhere else it said he healed everybody they brought. Everyone.
So when you pray for your brother to be healed, or that he was healed, but did he pass away?
He did. And see, I didn't know anything about this stuff.
So when you pray that someone like that with cancer is healed, and then they do pass away,
Deuteronomy 29:29 says, the secret thing belongs to the Lord, but the things that are revealed to us are for us and our children forever. There's things we don't understand. We don't know why. I called my pastor. I said, hey, I was reading this. I said, would you get the elders and come pray for me? He paused. He says, well, we don't believe that. Well, I'm like, if you don't believe your own word, and I wasn't living for the Lord at the time, I'd throw it away.
But even if they had come, though, and anointed him with oil, and he still passed away, then is that again, your faith wasn't strong enough?
We don't know.
God,
but the Lord knew your heart. He knew in your heart, before you knew all this stuff, knew in your heart that you wanted your brother healed.
Oh, absolutely.
But it wasn't his will. There we go.
No,
back.
I don't believe that. I believe it was his will.
It was his will to die, or it was
all these people that have been healed
except for Jesus. Why didn't
God heal
him? I don't know.
He went to heaven, so it was his will that God wanted him home.
Well, see, we talk, healing should be this permanent life. We should never die, because I'm healed of this, I'm healed of that, I'm healed of this.
Eternal life is eternal healing.
In our spirit, I'm healed.
Well, he goes home, but I still believe he was robbed of a long life, robbed of getting married, robbed of having kids. That's Satan. Satan comes to kill,
but
steal,
and
destroy.
But he wasn't really robbed.
He was robbed.
He got to be in heaven.
Well,
he got more than he would ever get here.
Yeah, but if you read, it's always Jesus' will to heal. And I could go kill myself. Is that God's will? No. Absolutely not.
How do you know it's not his will?
Doesn't God have a plan for our lives?
Right.
Doesn't God have a plan for our lives?
I think he does. And I think when you rob it, when you
do it. Your brother didn't choose to have cancer and die from it. That's different than trying to kill
him. But I'm just saying, Satan comes to kill someone's story, not the Lord. And unfortunately, people's lives are cut short.
Do you feel like God didn't answer that prayer?
I don't know. I really don't know.
We don't have all the answers.
No, and you know what's funny, though? We'll get to you next. My grandmother was sitting there, and there was a group that my dad rode motorcycles with 23 miles over. I actually ended up moving, leaving for a job. One of the guys, he ended up being my Sunday school teacher when I got back with the Lord, but they came over, his elders from his church, and they prayed for my brother. They were a charismatic church, really four square, which is Pentecostal charismatic. My grandma was sitting there. She had a really bad knee, and it had bothered her for years, and the doctors couldn't fix it. She was in her early 70s, probably. And out of the blue, this guy's wife, didn't know her from anybody, turns around as they're praying for my brother, puts her hand on my grandma's knee, and the Lord healed my grandma's knee. But yet he didn't heal my brother. And she used to cry and say, God, why didn't you heal him instead of my knee?
Yeah.
Well, see, that's the thing. Those secret things,
God,
we just don't know.
We are not in God's thoughts.
Yeah, we're not God.
God is God.
Right.
We are not.
And he saw her. And you know, do I believe it was God's will for him to die at 21 cancer? Absolutely not.
No.
I don't believe that. I believe that the devil took him. Satan comes to kill, steal, and destroy. That's his job. But
God is greater than the devil.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
And
so Satan does a lot of stuff on this earth.
If he wanted to.
Well,
we're good,
but...
Anyway, Tim.
I was just saying, the bigger picture is we're flawed. We only see from our perspective.
That's right.
Right.
That's right.
That's all we can see. So we think he wasn't healed. Yeah, he was healed.
Right.
But going to heaven.
Well, we know.
Life on this earth is not our goal. We think it is. That's all we know. So when you read the Bible, this is just a quick trial period so we can know God here, bring others with us. That's all we're here for, not to work. So we think about, long term, he was healed. So he's not healing our mind because he's not concerned.
Well,
still,
and I do understand that, but it's just in our bodies where you hear stories of, you know, the 3-year-old God does heal of that cancer. I mean, eventually that child is going to die.
That's true.
And that in some cases that physical thing is healed, and in other cases it's not. And it just, I know in my human mind I can't understand it, but it just,
God is healed. Do you know that God is healed?
And wonder and weaken our faith. If we keep our faith weak, so we're not out witnesses.
I don't know. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts.
But what about you living it because you're healed?
There's no explanation, really.
You don't have
stuff. But I want to witness.
Your faith.
Now let me wonder all.
I had migraines and for years.
Keep us weak and doubting all without question.
What about that?
That's the whole deal.
Not
Let me give you a couple more scriptures, then we're going to close. Jeremiah 30:17 says, "For I will restore health unto thee, and I will heal thee of thy wounds, saith the Lord. Because they called thee an outcast, saying, This is Zion, whom no man seeketh after." Acts 5:16 says, "There came also a multitude out of the cities round about into Jerusalem, bringing sick folks, and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed, every one." Some sicknesses are caused by demons. Mm-hmm. And that's just a fact. They are. So, let me give you a couple more. Hebrews 7:25, remember, save and heal go hand in hand. Consequently, he is able to save or to heal to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. In Romans 8:11, we'll stop with this one. "If the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you." So I believe it's always God's will to heal. Pastor David even said that. I was surprised. He believes that too. Does it always happen?
No.
We don't know why. The Bible says the secret thing belongs to the Lord.
But by believing and having the faith, it's not just growing you in that area.
Right.
So, you know,
yeah, it's not just all about healing, but
like
that's just
said,
an example.
But what I'm saying is, like you said, you can't have faith for someone else.
Right.
And sometimes, Jay, you don't know what the quality of life and the physical state of that person would be.
True.
If they live.
Yeah, we don't know. Yeah. We just don't know. That's
if my brother lived, he would have been a vegetable.
Yes.
Jay, all these verses are on your website.
Yeah.
Put all these lessons out there. They're writing them down.
Yeah.
You don't need to. Just print them out. They're alternate.
How many of you have gone to the website and looked at some of these? I know Mikey does every week. But these are always on the website for you to look at.
Right down here.
Jay Mack.
Yeah. There's two places you can go. I put all the lessons we do here on our table, and I also put my lesson each week. So you can go in there and get all those scriptures. There's tons more stuff I never covered that's in each lesson. But go to jmac.com, and then you can go to Truth Sowers, and then look under lessons, and you can follow where we're at. It's got the date. It's got a place you can click for the lesson. And it's got a place you can click for the MP3, the sound. Also, if you go there, I've got one called Christian Answers. And it has a lot of different, come in. It's got a lot of different things in there, too, that you can look at. That you have some questions that people have asked me over the years. I've got a lot of stuff there. But that's where you start, jmac.com.
You also got some books there.
Yeah, and some books. Like I say, Dodie Osteen's book is there. I would really, if you don't understand the thing about believing when you receive, man, read her book. It's really good. If you know somebody needs healing, there's one on there by T.L. Osborne that's called Healing the Sick. It's the best book ever written on healing. And I would read that and read it and read it and read it and read it and get it into me if I was sick. So, anyway, some good ones there.
When I was sitting in
demons, regarding angels and demons,
I'm sorry?
Sproul,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. How do you pronounce his name? Sproul, R-C.
Yeah.
Sproul, mm-hmm. Headed up the Ligonaires that were just here. Where
right.
I was supposed to work, so I was here this morning, and they had an amazing display of books. And most of them he had written, and he has a CD on angels and demons, and it's scripturally based.
Good. doing real well, I heard.
Was your brother a Christian?
Yeah.
Maybe this occurred to me when all this was happening. This occurred to me just now. It's like the Lord popped it in my mind. We all have appointed time to die.
Right.
And we can't escape that appointment.
Right.
So there you go.
But like I said, the Bible also says we should live to be 60 and 10. So
I think you really want to be right. You really want to live in that.
Well, we see so many times with children, but I can't show them. I don't believe that's God's will. I just don't believe that. I won't ever believe that. So, but you know, Satan can steal, kill, and destroy. And regardless that, I mean, Satan really has no power. Satan is not an equal opposite to God. I mean, how many times do people believe that Satan is an equal opposite? You know, God's absolutely perfect. God's, you know, good, and Satan's absolutely evil and perfect. Well, God's no.
Let me show that.
Yeah. So, you know, we believe that, don't we? But Satan is not an equal opposite to God. But Satan does come to kill, steal, and destroy. And he does rob people of their lives. He robs people of their possessions. You know, you just, every time Barb and I leave, you can't leave the state, we'll pray, God, take care of the things you made us stewards over. You know? And we trust the Lord for that. So, I mean, just things like, it's not all about healing, but when you talk about healing, it's really something that you need. You can talk about faith when you talk about it. I mean, there's so many other things.